Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Heavenly Father, this morning, we welcome you in this building. For Lord, is the Greek word says, you are the Kurios, the King, the Lord, the owner of all things. You are the Master. You are the King, the Savior. And so, Lord, we thank you that you own this building. You own the people within this building. You're everything. You're our life. You're the light. You're everything, Lord. And we are totally dependent upon you. And we pray this day in the name of Jesus Christ that your hand be upon us now, that you open up our understanding, our hearts, that we may perceive the time of the signs and the signs of the times. And live in accordance with your will and your purpose. Through Jesus Christ's name, let the word of God dwell in our minds and let it sink in with revelation and understanding of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name, all God's people said, amen. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you in the house of the Lord. And before I go on here, my goodness, there's a lot of people for this time of the day. And the winter is coming, but you're here and it's a beautiful day. Can you say amen? All I want to be partners. In other words, you want to join the congregation. Would you, directly after the service, come forward and the pastors will meet you here in the front. With that being said, to the book of Isaiah 62, and then after that, some more verses. The times we're living in are changing times, both for our nation and both for the world and both for the church, including the church. And so I give God all the glory and all the honor. What a week I've had with the Lord this week. And after that, I know there's direction for the church. There's direction for me in terms of what to do for the intercession for the nation. And there is happening there direction even with the world and revelation from the Holy Spirit. In this night, early in the night, I had the alert that there had been attacks by Iran on Israel and missiles and drones by the dozens coming in. The Americans and the allies, both British and American ships hanging out there and assets, as they call it, moved in position, and they partook in taking out those things. No harm came upon Israel. But the fact is, Iran is a major player and a source of much disturbance in the Middle East and on the world. And so the United Nations Security Council will be meeting. Already the American Security Council was meeting in, I don't even have to talk about Israel. If they do a thing like that, it's dangerous. We know also where that Ukraine war is going. We're living in dangerous time. Now, if I come back here in South Africa, without getting into the whole thing with Israel right now, here in South Africa, we also have changes coming in, many changes coming in. And here in the church also changes this week will be coming in as I want to improve and increase the whole pastoral system in a different dimension. We're going into a new field, and so I'm going to be ringing changes to really give the people the best possible pastoral care that this church has given in its history. Can you give the Lord a praise offering? Amen. Hallelujah. So it's all about you, and it's all about helping you, and it's phoning you, contacting you, and restoring all the things. Pastors will take counsel, but all counseling sessions will be, obviously, they can take bookings for the pastors, for counsel for people that have trouble and all that sort of thing. And all counseling sessions, we can only give you half an hour, no longer than half an hour, because the pastor is going to have plenty of work to do in the period that now rise ahead. And also with the prayer system, everything is upgraded. We're looking forward. There stood by me in this week a man. In the night. And spoke. And I know now what to do, what comes, what gives. It's opened up to me. The vision in the night was so clear, very, very prominent. And so the Lord has the hand of the Lord is indeed upon us. On your walls, O Jerusalem, Isaiah 62 and 6. I have appointed and stationed, New Amplified Bible, watchmen, prophets, who will never keep silent day nor night, who profess the Lord, take no rest for yourselves, and give him no rest from your prayers until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her praise on the earth. And also if he establishes South Africa and restores our nation, that our nation will be a restored nation, very restored nation, and there'll be a bright tomorrow for everybody. I see now clearly after this week that there is a job given for us in the spirit, and we're to pray for these things. Now, I'm not going to get too much into that now, but I do say that there are some things that are happening indeed. So, now, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 22 and number 30. Now, we also had from the book of Isaiah 59 and 16, that just quoted to you, that God looked from heaven above and he saw that there was no intercessor. We spoke about the intercessors last week. This week, I'm going on from the intercessor to this verse here. So God is looking for a specific type of class of people. There's so many people, so many things that have to be restored. Our nation is, if you use the Afrikaans language, dis 'n geradbrakte systeem wat aan die gang is. Die hele ding is afgebreek. The whole thing is broken down. This is dysfunctional, that's dysfunctional. But God, can you say amen? I say, but God. And so there is a work for us to be done. There is this broken down like a patch blanket that's been sewn and re-sewn and didn't work and it didn't, and the little patches, all the wrong colors and faded and everything, nothing is working. It will be restored. The future of a nation is on the lips of a praying church. Can you say amen? There is a bright tomorrow for all of us. There is a bright tomorrow for you. There's a bright tomorrow for everybody. Now I know, I am fully persuaded, I can say it. Give the Lord a praise offering, everybody. Now it says, so I sought for a man among them who would make up a wall and stand in the gap. Notice the word, make up a wall. Everybody say wall and stand in the gap. Everybody say gap. Okay, so there we have this word here, which is very similar. It always reminds me of the actual paradise because it's the same Hebrew word construction here that is used for the walls that surrounded after the fall of man, and they were cast out of the garden. That word chan there is also the same here as the word chader in the Hebrew, which means the wall that protects, okay? Make up a wall, stand in the gap for me on behalf of all the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Make up a wall, stand in the gap. The gap there, the Hebrew word for that word gap there is the word peretz, which is the breakthrough point. So this is very important to understand. Now remember those words, stand in the gap on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. And then God says, in this context here, he says, but I found no one, therefore I poured out my indignation upon them. I go on immediately and I say here, Psalm 106 and 23. For those of you taking notes, do take notes, always take notes, and have a study Bible and have a notebook, you could get these things. And there we go with 106:23 of the book of Psalm. And therefore he said that he would not destroy them. Had not Moses, Moshe, his chosen one, stood in the breach. Moses, his chosen ones, stood in the breach. The Hebrew Bible reads here, Moshe Becher Amad Ba Peretz. In other words, that he would stand, and there is this wall. The wall is a wall built with stones that they would pick up in the desert. There's a lot of stones out there in Israel in the deserts, that they would bring the stones, build this wall, and the shepherd of the sheep would stand in the gap. That is where the breach is. That's where the sheep would enter in, the flocks would enter in on behalf of the land, in this case, the people. We are looking, taking care of the land where the people of God are in a different situation here and worldwide everywhere. Now, we know that what happens internationally at the moment is very significant, but at the same time, I saw this thing coming, but at the same time also, I want to tell you that for our own nation, there is work to be done. God is calling up a nation of intercessors. I will tonight move in the spirit, but I'm telling you right now, there is a profile of a true intercessor that is quite different. And when that thing hits you, there's an anointing that comes on such people that's quite different from the average Christian. When you really get down to it and you rise up and say, I report for intercession, then God starts working on your life. And then you find yourself going places in the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit, by the Spirit, that people just don't go to, and you have revelation of what to do. Had not Moshe, his chosen one, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he destroy them. Yeah, God talks about the same thing. The wall, and Moses is like, you know, he's standing in the breach for the nation. I stood with one of the men of God from the Philippines, Alex Eduave. We stood at Cape Point. And if you go to Cape Point, right down to the peninsula, at the point of the peninsula, there is a lighthouse. You go up the stairs all the way there, and then you can stand. If you're on the stoop, you do that over South Africa like that. If you stand right at the bottom of South Africa on Cape Point, you do like that. You put your arms around the nation in one time. So I stood with Alex Eduave and we prayed over South Africa at that exact point. And again, over the parliament, we prayed down over the parliament and took authority over that place from the top of Table Mountain, looking straight at the parliament and doing the same thing. And we'll pray over everything that moves in the political arena in this period of time. Can you say amen? People preach, or rather, can I say, people, you know, vote in these days without even knowing what a party stands for. Neither do they know what the integrity of the person is that they vote for. They just vote. All right. So Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach. God always have a chosen person, which is like a Bechir, is the Hebrew here. I'm reading the Hebrew Bible here. Chosen one stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he destroy them. So South Africa's on the brink. Therefore, we cannot in this day and age where we are, we have to understand the parallels. This word was given to me by impartation. So listen very carefully. The entire sermon is important here. It's not just the normal type of thing. So, Moses stood in the breach to turn away his wrath. Now, it takes one man that can stand in the gap. One man can stand in the gap and turn away God's wrath. Do you know that God did not destroy the nation of Israel at that time? Why? Because a righteous man was standing right in that gap. Like that, behind me, I you know, and what do you say? An arm, I just put my arms around Israel and now I turn away. That word stand in the gap means to put your arms around, then turn away and face whatever trouble comes from the outside and from the inside, as we will see. Now, if you look at Nehemiah or Nehemiah, or actually it's Nehemiah if you're just going straight English. Then in the first chapter, and I think what I'll do here, I'll just read it here. If I read it here, in the book of Nehemiah, in the actual Bible, I'm just going to read the Bible from New King James Translation, always the most accurate, particularly when times like we're in now, I want to see the Hebrew, I want to see, and the closest thing I can get. Now the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, came to pass in the month of Chislev, that would be, in the Hebrew calendar, on the sacred calendar, would be the month of December. In the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with the men from Judah and asked then concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity concerning Jerusalem. Concerning Jerusalem. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. How many of you pray with me for the peace of Jerusalem? There's a king who is the king of Jerusalem. Not just David, but the son of David, who's the son of God. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's coming back for Jerusalem. It's his city, the son of the living God. His name is Jesus. Give Jesus a praise offering. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Our whole Bible comes out of Israel, by the way. So, now, the level of ignorance concerning Israel is just astounding at this point in time in the history of the world, just astounding. And you see the pathetic ignorance of the people, politicians, people around the world, ignorance, lack of knowledge. They don't understand what they're talking about, but God. Everybody say, but God. All right, now let's go on. And they said, how is it there with the captivity the people have survived there in Jerusalem? And they said to me, they spoke to Nehemiah, and they said to me, the survivors were left from the captivity. Everybody say survivors. Okay, so there were some people, there's a remnant that stayed behind in the province, are in great distress and reproach. Afghans looking down upon them. They intimidated, victimized, and all that sort of stuff. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down. Oh, I sought for a man who would build up a wall and stand in the gap for on behalf of all the land. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burnt with fire. So it was that when I heard these words, I sat down and I wept, and I mourned for many, many days. I was fasting, and I was praying before the God of heaven, and I said, I pray, Lord God, oh God of heaven, O great and awesome God, great and awesome God, you keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer. This word prayer, 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 it is numerous times in these opening chapters. In fact, the entire Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, numerous, a total man of prayer. He speaks it everywhere. You hear him using this word prayer, praying, and intercession. The prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel. Notice that word sins there. We're going to get back to that one, if the Lord allows us. Confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. Again, just like Daniel, I have sinned, and so have my father's house. I confess my sins, Daniel chapter 9, and as well as the sins of those people that were out there in the captivity in Babylon after the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, took them out in captivity. And there was Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was Ezekiel there. And then, of course, also in that place, there was Nehemiah, and also Ezra, the scribe. They're all sitting out there. They're now going to do a move on restoring the land. We're doing a move on restoring the land here and restoring everything. Wherever we are, if the Lord tells us so, then we do so. Can you say amen? He confesses the sins of everybody. And we've acted very corruptly against you, and I've kept the commandments, the mitzvot, the statutes and the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you're unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me, Tov Shabbat, and keep my mitzvot, my commandments, and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest parts of the heavens. Yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place that I have chosen as a dwelling place for my name. There comes a day of reckoning, and it's upon us, people. Listen, this world is running to come to an end. It's not just walking or dragging feet. It's running to come to an end. Now, he prays and he says, now verse number 10, these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive. Again, the word prayer. See, a prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servants prosper in this day. I pray, grant them mercy in the sight of this man, which was King Artaxerxes. He's about to lead the third and final return of a group of people from Babylon back to the promised land, to go back to where the Babylonians have taken them in captivity. So out there for 70 years. Now they're coming back from Babylon. He's got the final brigade that comes in and the third return of people. Now this king Artaxerxes here is important because the moment the king gives his permission to return, the clock also starts working. Because from here, my memory recalls me right, it's about 483 years. And in fact, a little bit more than that, 470 years, but actually I work with 483. And then, of course, there's a breach there of 7.5 years or 7 years, three and a half years. That's the 70th week of Daniel. The countdown of the 70th week of Daniel had begun, and also the countdown of the church age had begun from this point, a key point in the history of the planet, this one year. Now, we have to get the thing here, and that is that there are a couple of people that are weak. Normally, when a big nation, like in those days, the Assyrian Empire at that time, with the northern tribes, capture the people, they took them in bondage, took them to the southern parts of Russia, in the area of Assyria and Nineveh, and then came after that the Babylonians, they took the Jews, and they took Daniel, Judah, and Benjamin, and the remnant took them out there to Babylon. But behind stayed some people that were there, and of course everything was destroyed, and they were only barely surviving. Now at this point in time, Nehemiah hears that the walls are burned, the city is broken down, the people are in distress, the people are in reproach. They look at them now. They say, now where is your God that got this land in such a state? All the time, please think South Africa. Think of this nation too. Think of what goes on. If people forget God, it's the most dangerous thing in the world. Can you say, give the Lord a praise offering? Amen. So now, of course, the king sends, and Nehemiah is the king's cupbearer, and he stands there, he's weeping, and he's fasting, and he's mourning, and the king says, why your face so sad? The king picks it up, he could see in his countenance, because you're not allowed, in those kings, take your throat just like that, just cut your neck off, and get somebody else appointed as the cupbearer. They wouldn't take any negativity. You know, it's amazing how people take negativity around them. Mort was saying this week, negativity never done nothing for nobody. Worries never did nothing for nobody except kill them. Can you say amen? Stress, anxiety, that's what it does. It takes people out. And so the king even picks it up there. The people that are positive around him. And so he says, what's going on here? And of course, Nehemiah begins and he gives the whole scenario of what happens in Jerusalem, in his land, and the way the people are being treated there with reproach, and the walls broken down, and he asked permission to rebuild the temple of the God of Israel. And the king Artaxerxes gives his permission, and with that, the clock, as I've said, starts ticking for the crucifixion and the 70th week of Daniel, the church age. And there's a whole formula in the book of Daniel, chapter number 9, concerning this, plus Daniel chapter 11 and so on. Okay, so now with that, Nehemiah leaves, he gets permission, he gets letters, he gets authority to move out there to Jerusalem, and he takes the crowd with him, let me just call it the third brigade if you will, and takes them out, the last group that would leave Babylon now, and they want to now go and restore. Gets there, and of course, now at this point in time, there in chapter number 2, very important stuff this, because it's highly, highly important. This to me comes through revelation in the night, not the normal type of message. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of it, verse 2:10, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. This, of course, being Nehemiah there. And this guy, Sanballat, okay? The word Sanballat is broken down very simply like this. Sanballat. San means, in the Aramaic, means sin. Balat means the God Sin gives new life and protects me. My God is Sin and gives me new life. Ach, no, ya, tomorrow. Give the Lord another praise offering, everybody. Hallelujah. And Tobiah, these are descendants of the Philisheth, Philistine, Palestine, the early people that came in there. With the Babylonians taking the nation of Israel out, now they're coming back. They now had come and occupied the place. And there they were now, and they're saying, now, what are these people doing here? And we have this guy called Sanballat, worshiping the God of Sin. And Tobiah, these were, that he was a descendant of the Arabs, of the Hagar, the slave girl of Abraham, and Ishmael, and his descendants. So now these people are there and say, what are you doing here? You're restoring Jerusalem back again to the Jews. No, we're not going to do that. Now they all get very upset. And Jeremiah, let me tell you something, Nehemiah. There were two of them here, two men that were compatriots. The one is Ezra. Ezra's praying and weeping in the plain there at Jerusalem. Nehemiah comes with the final crowd, and there they're sitting at Jerusalem. And these men, in fact, Ezra was a scribe, and he writes much of the book of Nehemiah also in that current day language. Ezra itself written with a lot of Aramaic within that book. And so using that lingo of the time begins to write this and document what is going on. And so we find now this man with the name of Nehemiah is like a general. He is really one of the prime leaders. He causes a clock of God turn, click into a new phase, new era towards ultimately the temple being restored at the time of Jesus and the coming of the Messiah, as that clock turns towards that, and then he would be crucified on the clock. All right, so with that being said, he goes on, and he's got a vision. The Lord gave him a vision. Rebuild, restore, reconstruct, re-everything. He's got two things to deal with. He's surrounded by the inside and by the outside by people. He's got to deal with laziness. He's got to deal with rebellion. He's got to deal with despising. He's got to deal with danger. He's got to deal with intimidation. He's got to deal with ridicule. He's got to deal with all the stuff, even intimidation, even trying to lure him out to kill him. He would be victimized. He would be from every side, but he was fearless. He walked in his heart with a vision from God. Now, vision is a very powerful thing. When God speaks up, it's very, very powerful. And so here, he goes in the night. Now, the first thing is find out what's going on. Find out what the state of the affairs is. Find out about the nation of South Africa. Find out. Look at stats, look at things, look at people, look at everything. Find out so that when you enter into spiritual warfare and you stand in the gap on behalf of all the land, you build a hedge of protection around the nation, you stand in the gap, and then it is now demanded that whoever stands in the gap will be absolutely in integrity with God. Can you say amen? Amen. That is the profile, if I get to it tonight, because I also want to move in the spirit tonight. The profile of an intercessor has to be of just the starting blocks of a race has to be absolutely impeccable, because you can't leak when you're standing in the peretz, the point of breakthrough. You've got to hold out the judgment of the land, but at the same time, you've got to face what goes on inside plus outside. Now, on the inside, Nehemiah was very strong. He sorted everything out inside. They were decisive between him and Ezra. You read those two people, they work together, compatriots. So you look at them, they dealt with the people inside decisively, and then they dealt with the outside. So we have to deal with what happens in South Africa, and then we have to deal with what happens not only in South Africa, in the spiritual realm surrounding us. Stand in the gap for all the land. You catch the message. If you catch the message, you get converted into an intercessor. Give Jesus a praise offering, everybody, right now. All right. Now, having said that, he now has to find out. So he goes at night. He goes, he's got a donkey or a mule, and this animal that carries him, he sits on a donkey, and he goes now into the city of Jerusalem. The walls are so broken down. It's such a bad state. He examines it by night. He tells nobody. He's got the vision. He says nothing to nobody. He knows what to do. He goes out there. He's burning with fire for Jerusalem. He's walking with a thing. Now, in this case, we stand in the gap for the nation. I, as the leader here, have to stand in the gap for this church. So I've got to deal inside and deal outside. Does that make any sense? All right, so what we do there is we stand in the gap. You build up the wall, and then you come into that breach, and you say, up to here and no more. You don't touch the people of Little Falls Christian Center. Ahaniamon. Devil, get out. Very much get out. Can you say amen? Okay. Give Jesus a praise offering right now. All right. This whole book is altogether prophetic. Wow. I tell you, thank you, Lord Jesus. He goes in the night. Now, if you look at chapter number 2 and 16, please. Chapter number 2 and 16. I hurry along. And the officials did not know where I had gone into the night to examine the city. Everybody snoozing, sleeping, and Nehemiah spending the night before God in the city. And what I had done, I had not yet told the Jews. Nobody knew. Nobody could leak. You always get those people that leak. The priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. Then I said to them, here we have a thing called the casting of a vision. Now, let me tell you something quickly. Let me tell you, it works like this. If you get the people's hearts, then you get the people's hands. Give Jesus another praise offering right now. Watch it here. And he said to them, you see, now he's got them and he's talking to them. You see the distress that we're in. How Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. You can see that. You see the mess that's going on in the land. You see how the cities are dealt with, full of potholes, all sorts of problems. Shall I go on? I think you can tell me, in fact. Let's deal with South Africa. God will protect Israel, but for a surety. Can you say amen? Amen. Come, let us build the wall. Here comes the vision. Let us build the wall. I was so encouraged this week. Let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. They shall not look down on the people in Jerusalem. They shall not look down on the body of Christ. They shall not look down on South Africa as a reproach and as an embarrassment on the international situation. Can you say amen? Give Jesus another praise offering. Hallelujah. And I told them, the hand of my God, which has been good, the hand of my God, which has been good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken to me, that's King Artaxerxes. So they responded the moment when he told them what's going on and informed them of the story in verse number 19. In the middle of 18, they say, let us rise up. Everybody say, let us rise up. Okay, you see, that says, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. They set their hands to this good work. Now, it's interesting let me just catch this here, if I can. I hope I can. If I can. All right. I hope I will. All right. Okay. It says here, They set their hands to do this good work. Later on, in Nehemiah 4 and 6, it says, the people had a mind to work. They caught the vision. The people had a mind to work. This week here at Little Falls Christian Center, I had a team of people phoning all the day, phoning everybody in every direction. Over the next period of time, if you've been skipped, you will be contacted. And if you still then have not been contacted, you can let us know by communication. We'll give you the opportunity to help us know who's not been contacted. I want to know about every single church member, everyone that is connected to Little Falls that we're caring for. We have to pray for you and care for you and make sure that you have the best possible care and pastoral system available. You know, it's good. It's sweet, shall I say. It is sweet to love somebody, to love someone. It is sweet to love one another. And how right it is to care for each other. How right it is to care for each other. So they said, let us rise up. Then they set their minds. And here in Nehemiah 4, 6, they had a mind to work. The people, okay? The people had a mind to work. I'm just look here at this thing. La'am la'asot. La'am, the people, la'asot, had a mind. Asot, that word asot, by the way, it speaks of the hidden man of the heart. It's a broad term there in the Hebrew. Asot, it means the hidden person. They were right touched in their hearts. You get the hearts of the people, you get the hands of the people. Now they wouldn't ask any more questions. They'll just do what they have to do. Because the transference of the vision to the people had to be just right. When that, it had to be, above all, it had to be in the will of God. There had to be an impartation of the Holy Spirit. God working in their hearts, and they took it. La'am la'asot, in the heart. And it says there, where it talks about the lev, where it is literally the heart, and then it also includes both the heart and the mind in one word there. Okay. Now, so he breaks the vision, they take the vision, and then you see in chapter number 3 of the book of Nehemiah, you see how they have to deal now with the walls. Now, that's not as easy as that, because you have a couple of people out there that are in the surrounding region and they don't like it at all. The devil always has somebody laying claim on the land. The devil always says, mine, mine, mine. The devil always comes along and says, you know what? I'm going to take this and take that, take the other, take, take, take. The devil is always greedy for what God's people has got. Every plan that God reveals, the devil tries to make a counter plan. God's got a good plan for you. The devil also has another plan. And I'm saying that plan's cut off in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Cut off in Jesus' name. The curse is broken in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, Nehemiah 4. And we now see that, Nehemiah 4, it is just this whole section here is on fire. Now, when Sanballat, the god of sin, gives him no life at all, the wages of sin, in fact, is death. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he was furious and indignant, very in fact, and mocked the Jews. They had to withstand the mockery. And he spoke before his brethren, the army of Samaria. Yeah, the Samaritans also, they're now trying to claim up the whole land for themselves. And what are these feeble Jews doing? Now, notice what? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in the day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, the stones that are burnt? I want to tell you something. If you say we're living stones, let me tell you something. God can revive you like that. God can clean you up like that. If you return, Tov Shabbat, you come back to God. Hebrew for repentance, very easy. It's a very, very easy thing. Simply says, if you look at me right now, it says, I'm going in a direction. Shabbat, Shabbat. Now I go back this way. Now I'm on my way. Intercession, in its meaning, in the Hebrew there, Hebrew Aramaic, you look at that intercession, it's when something goes off track, like the nation. When something goes wrong, like the nation, intercession brings it back to where it should be. Are you with me now? How many feel you're becoming intercessors for God? Let me see your hands right down this place. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. This is the hour. Indeed it is. Will they revive the stones? Will there be a revival in the house of God? Will there be a revival of this nation to restore all the breaches and all the things that's broken down? Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when people start working together, all the people of the land, they're all loved by God. In this place, everybody is loved. Amen. Amen. Everybody is valuable. Everybody. Every single person walks in that door. You're all loved. Kingdom of God without discrimination or anything of the like. Any form of racism, any form of whatever. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of God from every tribe and tongue and kindred and nation, land, you name it. God reigns sovereign. He is Kurios. He's the owner of us. Give him a praise offering right now. Will there be a revival in the church? Will there be a rebuilding in the church? I intend to. From the heaps of the rubbish, we make mistakes through the years. And so we have to reset by intercession, bring us back on track. Now, Tobiah the Ammonite, Grootspook, was beside him. And he said, whatever they build, even a fox, if it goes up, yet he will break down, their stone wall. Now I stood in Jerusalem, several times in Jerusalem. I would also always pass the wall of Nehemiah. If you go to the Jewish quarter, you stand there, you look down at that wall. I would linger a moment there, because you look at that wall, you see that thing they built in 52 days. 52 days. The length of that wall and the breadth of that wall is an amazing feat. It was God helping them. And these people were trying to stop. Whatever God tries to do and whatever God tries to deal with in and without, the devil always tries a counteraction. So he raises up these people, Sanballat and Tobias, all their cronies with them, and to come against it. But again, you see here, let me just talk because my time's going to catch me. He is just this man of fire. He prays and he says, now, don't forgive them their sins. Take them out. And they become history from that point in time. Never hear of them ever again. But at the same time, he says, now within the walls, put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God. They took up swords, half the people standing with swords, spears, and arrows and shields, or whatever their armor was that was available, given to them from Babylon in this case. They had an army in no time, half built, and the other half is busy with a work. When they work, they carry swords, and they got weaponry with them. They're ready to fight at a moment. When the trumpet blasts, they're ready to go for it. He concludes that major, major project. It is, you have to go to Jerusalem to see the size of that wall. They were all around. They were building and hanging gates. These people were threatening and intimidating and ridiculing. You know, it's an amazing thing how the devil always comes in like a flood. You know, and on the 13th day of this month, that's our calendar, there was an attack on Israel. The 13th day, in the year of Kedor Lachomer, they served King Lachomer, Kedor Lachomer. And in those days in the Bible, that's in another place in the Bible now, earlier. And then it says, and in the 13th year they rebelled. It's a time of rebellion. It's a time of release of antagonistic forces onto Jerusalem last night. Are you with me? Anybody with me today? Give Jesus a praise offering if you will. They try to get him. I'm just going to talk here now. They try to get him to come out so they can take him out. He doesn't listen to them. They send message after message. He focuses. He deals decisively with his leadership within, with the people within. They catch the spirit. And You know, they just catch the vision, they have the mind to work, and now they're building the walls, and in a record time, the biggest thing that you've seen, I've never seen a project in my life that built that size within 52 days. All things are possible. The nation shall be restored. I said the nation shall be restored. I said there needs to be intercessors to build a wall, to stand in the gap. Can you say amen? Give Jesus a proper praise offering. Will you stand, everybody? Come on. The nation shall be restored. The land shall be restored. There's a future. Come on, give the Lord a good praise offering, everybody. Hallelujah. Come on. It was just like that, you know, after a period of time of maybe neglect, slothfulness, laziness, forgetting God, forgetting the Word of God, the land gets into a state and people are just there as no by lacquer. But the whole thing is wrong. God says, you pray. You stand in the gap. How many of you join me to stand in the gap for this land? Give Jesus another praise offering like that. Hallelujah. You pray. You obey. Because after that, the defenses were up and they were not troubled again like that ever again in history. Not like that. Not like that. Those people, Sanballat, Tobias, and all the cronies, they were out. And now God dealt with them because he's the owner. He said, they've divided my land, God's land. And so in the book of Joel, you read those words. So we know this, that God's given us a nation to live in. We are the people of this nation, commanded to love one another. Never mind optioned, commanded. It's a new commandment I give unto you that you love one another. We love one another. Can you say amen? The second thing is we pray. We're intercessors. God is raising up an army of intercessors. Every Saturday morning we get together in this place, we pray. We don't joke, we pray. And in that everywhere now, we'll be praying until that election will go through the night on the election night. Until those ballot boxes closes. And we'll pray for everything, everything. And we'll do very specific warfare because God is the one who fights the battle. We can't do that. God does it. He can see everything. I say at any time, he can see anything. See, there's a plan, cut it off. There's another plan, cut it off. That Nehemiah built the wall, stood in the gap on behalf of the land. There he stands. And God says, right now, I'm restoring Jerusalem. From that spot now, would be King Herod's temple and finally the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? God can restore everything for us. God can restore, if you take this on a personal basis, sometimes you have to deal with things within before you can deal with things without. You have to set up your defense system, and once you set up your defense system, you can deal without. Everywhere, everywhere. Amen. Well, there are four nights left, I notice here. They're just giving me a note. For War in the Heavens. I'm doing a course. We had a record turnout, I think it was. A lot of people came in on Wednesday night on War in the Heavens. This Wednesday, I continue with that as I've rediscovered, can you believe it? At the right time, the manual, two manuals, War in the Heavens. That happens Wednesday night here at 7 o'clock. There's that course. And then all who want to be partners must come forward after the service. Just stand here by the pastors. They'd like to meet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you and be gracious to you and give you peace. In the name of God, the Almighty Father, God the Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, we thank you and bless you in peace. In Jesus' name, all God's people said.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.